Canto 6, Chapter 17. Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu. Sri Shuka said, after making his obeisances in the direction in which Lord Ananta had disappeared, Chitraketu, the king of the Vidyadharas, began travelling, moving about in the atmosphere. On his way, not diminished in his power and sense control, he visited hundreds of thousands of people in thousands of places, and was by the sages, the perfected souls, and the monks praised for being a great yogi. Pleased to stay in the valleys around Kulachalendra, Mount Sumeru, where one exercises for the different forms of perfection, he took great delight in persuading the wives of the Vidyadharas to praise the Supreme Personality, Lord Hari. One day, roaming in the brightly shining heavenly vehicle that he had received from Lord Vishnu, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by the perfected souls and the singers of heaven. He had his arm around the goddess who sat on his lap. Chitraketu laughed loudly about it in the presence of the sages and then addressed the mother hearing him. Chitraketu said, this spiritual master of all the world, who is the direct representative of Dharma for all embodied souls, sits here as head of an assembly while embracing his wife. With his hair matted, supremely repentant, following the Vedic principles and presiding a gathering, he is sitting there, unashamed, hugging a woman like an ordinary, materially motivated person. Normally, even conditioned souls embrace their women in private. But this one master of vow and austerity enjoys his woman in an assembly. Sri Shuka said, when the great lord of fathomless intelligence heard that, O king, he only smiled and remained silent, and so did everyone in the assembly following his example. With him, unaware of the might of Shiva, thus speaking against all etiquette, the Devi angrily addressed the impudent soul who thought he was so well restrained. Sri Parvati said, and now this soul here would all of a sudden be the supreme controller, the master of restraint, and the one to chastise persons like us as being criminal and shameless? It must be so that now the one born on the lotus has no notion of Dharma, and that neither Brahma's sons, Bhrigu or Narada, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila or Manu himself, have a clue, otherwise they would have stopped our Shiva from breaking the rules. This one here is the lowest of all Kshatriyas. He who by him, positioning himself above the gods, so impudently was chastised, is the one teacher of all the world. He is the most auspicious one of the auspicious upon whose lotus feet one meditates. This man, therefore, deserves it to be punished. This impudent, haughty fellow does not deserve it to approach the shelter of the lotus feet of Vaikuntha that are worshipped by all the saints. Therefore, O greatest of all sinners, leave this place to be born among the demons, O fool, so that this world again belongs to the great ones, and you, my son, no longer will commit any offense. Sri Shuka said, thus being cursed, Chitraketu came down from his heavenly chariot to propitiate Parvati by bowing his head deeply before her, O son of Bharata. Chitraketu said, folding my hands before you, O mother, I accept your curse. That which the gods impose upon a mortal is entirely determined by his deeds in the past. Deluded in its ignorance, the living entity is caught wandering around in the vicious circle, the cycle of rebirth in this material life, wherein it constantly is subjected to happiness and distress. Neither the individual soul nor anyone else can really be the one who calls down the happiness and sorrow, the illusion and disillusion. A person lacking in awareness nevertheless considers himself or someone else the cause in this matter. What, in this maelstrom, this constantly changing flow of the basic qualities of matter, would actually be a curse or a favor? What would be the meaning of a promotion to heaven or a fall down in hell, or the eternal value of happiness and distress? He, the one supreme Lord, by his potencies gives shape to the conditioned existence of all living beings, as also to their liberation in devotional service. He constitutes the reason for their happiness and distress, as also for the position of being elevated with him above time. He considers no one his favorite or enemy, a kinsman or friend, an insider or outsider. He is equal to all, omnipresent and unaffected by the world. In his happiness, being free from attachments, one finds no anger in him. Still there is, in a repetition of being born and dying again, for embodied souls, the karmic answer of an existence ruled by happiness and grief, gain and loss, bondage and liberation, that generated from the energy of the Lord as a secondary creation. Therefore, I do not ask for your mercy to be released from your curse, O angry one. All I want is that you accept my excuses for everything that I have said and in your eyes, O chaste one, was unbecoming. Sri Shuka said, after thus having propitiated these elevated personalities, O persistent conqueror of the enemies, Chitraketu left in his heavenly vehicle while the two were watching and smiling at him. With Narada, the Daityas, the Siddhas, and his personal associates all listening, the great Lord then spoke to his wife the following words. Sri Rudra said, have you seen, my beauty, how magnanimous the servants of the servants are, the great souls who have forsaken their sense gratification in relating to the Supreme Personality, whose actions are so wonderful? None of the pure devotees of Narayana are ever afraid. To be in heaven, on the path of liberation, or to have a place in hell makes no difference to them. With the game played by the Lord, embodied souls are bound to the dualities of happiness and distress, dying and being born, and being cursed or favored because they identify themselves with their bodies. The way one may take a flower garland for something else, or speaks of qualities or faults in a dream image of oneself, also the appraisals of a person that are based upon a lack of insight are deceptive. They who incite to bhakti, or devotional service in love for the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, possess the strength of spiritual knowledge and detachment, and take no interest in any other shelter. Neither I, nor Lord Brahma, the Ashwini Kumaras, or Narada, the sons of Brahma, the saints, or all the great demigods, know the true nature of him of whom we, who like to think of ourselves as independent rulers, are all but parts of a partial aspect. No one in particular is loved or disliked by him. He calls no one his own, nor does he exclude anyone. The Lord, as the soul of the soul of all living beings, is the one dearest to all. This greatly fortunate King Chitraketu is his obedient servant, loved by everyone. He, peaceful and equal to all, is the love of the infallible one, just as I am. Do not be surprised to find the devotees of the Supreme Personality among the people to be the great souls who bring peace and equality. Sri Shuka said, after thus having heard what the great Lord Shiva had to tell her, the goddess Parvati was freed from her doubt and found back her peace of mind, O King. He, who as a great devotee was fully capable of pronouncing a counter-curse against the goddess, in resignation accepted his condemnation, and that characterized him as a true saint. Following Toshta's Dakshinakni sacrifice, he thereafter, because of the curse, was born, complete with all his knowledge and wisdom, in the demoniac species of life, and became known as Vritrasura. This, my dear Parikshit, was all I had to tell you concerning your question about Vritrasura, he who with an exalted intelligence appeared in the world as a demon. Hearing this sacred history about the great soul Chitraketu, which reflects the greatness of the devotees of Vishnu, one is freed from bondage. Anyone who, remembering the Lord, rises early in the morning to control with faith his voice by reciting this story will reach the supreme destination.